The castle Kalinda Sorom and Wagenis Nadrom Erlu Ibna Quilles Glisha Word of Yalgrim Law Shin Raguru Hok Shiluum Kakunagos Katala Tan sail nagal is bogomish and sushin van.
We're playing that lovely Irish lament because today is the anniversary of the death of an Irishman named C.Y. O'Connor. He died in 1902, and you'll find out who he was in just a moment. If you live in Perth, I know you already know, but the rest of Australia mightn't be up with you. He is the subject of my very favourite sculpture, and I've been waiting for an excuse to share this with you. And the amazing thing about this sculpture is that it is in the sea, about 50 metres off a beach just south of Fremantle in Western Australia. And you can see a picture of this on our website. So join me on a recent Sunday morning as I ask people on the beach at Fremantle what they know about the sculpture. Hello, I'm from ABC Radio.
Hi.
Can you tell me what that is?
Is it C.Y. O'Connor and his horse?
And do you know who C.Y. O'Connor is?
He was the man that built the pipeline to Kalgoorlie.
Excuse me, ladies, I'm from ABC Radio. Can I ask you who this chap is?
C.Y. O'Connor.
And what do we as Western Australians know about C.Y. O'Connor?
The myth is that he rode out on his horse and drowned himself after his pipeline from Kalgoorlie failed. But actually, I think he had severe depression, is what I understood.
I know that story, and I've seen the pipeline up at Mundaring, and I've walked along the pipeline.
Mundaring is the weir north of Perth
that feeds the pipe. That's right, yes.
Now, the man responsible for this sculpture has agreed to meet you and me actually quite early on a Sunday morning, and he's Tony Jones, OAM, a much-loved figure in Western Australia.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you for coming with me and the listener to your beach. We're looking at a sculpture of a man on a horse out on the water, and it's not a realistic sculpture. It's kind of Minoan or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's symbolic, I guess, you know, rather than a portrait, and it was always meant to be that. And you probably see a bit of Marino Marini and people like that in it, and it was a response to this site in particular, the site where C.Y. O'Connor, West Australian public hero, really, committed suicide.
On the 10th of March 1902. Over East, a lot of people will not know who he is. So he's one of my heroes because I'm a water fanatic. Tell us briefly who he was.
Well, he was an engineer and he was responsible for two major projects and probably a lot more. He was a government employee, as little note came through, commonly known as the Chief, and he was responsible for the development of the Fremantle Harbour, which we can see to the north of us here. But the other thing that he is most celebrated for was getting the water from the Mundaring Weir to the goldfields. And the goldfields at that time, you know, were overrun by gold diggers and people, you know, just moving in great droves around the turn of the century. And he established a way of pumping the water all that long distance, about 400 kilometres, as it turns out, and that embroiled him in a lot of controversy. People thought it couldn't be pumped that distance, and there were all sorts of bits and pieces of skullduggery going along in his department.
Well, let's be clear that what he set up was with government support. And government instruction was the Department of Public Works, which built this massively visionary pipeline. At that stage, the largest pipeline in the world to pump water uphill to these gold fields in this massively arid part of the state where miners were suffering from typhoid and other ailments that come with living with little water, and what water there is was contaminated. And really, the people who were his enemies were the people in the private sector who thought that the contract should have gone to them, and they accused him of all sorts of corruption and ineptitude, and it broke his mind.
Yes, and He also apparently did have people within his department who were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing. There was some story where a town was moved to be near one of the pump stations so that, and then people could speculate on the land around the pumping station and the development of the new town. I mean, I may have not got that exactly correct, but, and some of that, as I read it, was reflecting on him. And that was being portrayed in the local newspapers, you know, in the ways they love to do it. And I think it did take, well, it took its toll to the extent that he, you know, took his life.
Yeah. And he's remembered in the West today as a wronged man.
Yes, very much so. And I think he does have the very strong family legacy, and the West Australian public are very respectful of his legacy.
So take us into your artist's mind. What were you thinking as you shaped this lovely and sort of primal form that rides out there upon the tide?
This was the original drawing, which is a sketch. There, that's a digital print of the original drawing. It's pretty close to what we ended up with as a work.
Well, your drawing's a little bit more lifelike than that, as you've actually simplified and clarified the forms that you...
That's right, yeah. Yes, but, you know, that was a starting point, that one. And then I made a number of small maquettes.
A maquette being sculptor talk for model.
Yeah, model, yeah. Essentially, that's him. And he's basically done to pick up the waterline. He's a horse without legs, for example, but his formal kind of shape is well rendered once we took the maquette to the final stage and had the work cast.
So you make that little model that we're holding here. I mean, it's very dramatic. I'm sitting here with the artist and he's holding up the model in his hand up against the sculpture that's out there in the ocean. And in fact, the model is bigger because it's closer.
Yeah.
Because of the effect of...
Yeah.
Perspective. What did you model that out of?
It was originally modelled in clay, and then I took a plaster mould of the clay and produced a hollow wax, which subsequently these maquettes have been done in as a little addition of bronzes. So there's about 20 of these have been cast.
Oh, and, well, that's good. You can flog those.
You can flog those. This is what artists do.
I know. I'm sorry to make it sound ignoble. I mean, that's what you're doing there to earn a living. And they're absolutely lovely.
Oh, no, it's
lovely.
And it's been, these have been shared, these maquettes, with some of the members of the CY O'Connor family. And over time, you know, they'll find their way into homes around the place. And they were cast by a very good foundry, and I'm very pleased with the little ones, you know.
Now, listener, if you're from Perth or you're visiting Perth, don't miss this. Come down to the beach. It's just south of Fremantle. It's easy to find. Well, and it's actually not that easy to find, but you will find it. It's on the map. And if you come here at dawn, the figure's or the man's face is lit by the rising sun. And if you come from the eastern side of Australia, it's quite stunning because the sun rises over the continent of Australia, and you do have a sense of the vastness of the great hinterland that lies behind us here, the hinterland which this man brought water to and brought all that prosperity to. And I've always had a sense that he is here keeping vigil over this lonely beach, and that every morning people come down here and find that the beach is still here, that O'Connor's still there riding in the water as a kind of, well, as a kind of ghost, I guess.
Yes. If I didn't ever do another work, I'd be happy with this. You know, I think it's it does, it works for me, and it seems to work for other people.
Tony, thank you so much for joining us here so early on a Sunday morning.
No, it's a pleasure. Big thrill. Thank you.
While the water scheme, if carried out, will be the largest of its kind in the world, there is nothing in the nature of it which is impractical or unprecedented. And with reasonable care and skill, there is no reason to suppose otherwise than that it will be entirely satisfactory.
The words of C.Y. O'Connor, confident in the success of his great pipeline. Actually, it's 530 kilometres long, very long indeed. That reading is from a terrific highlight from a documentary called Watering the West. The actor there, Maloisa Stafford. And I was speaking before that to Tony Jones, the very clever sculptor who has lots of work on display around Perth and Fremantle. Most famous is his sculpture of Eliza, a woman in her swimming costume standing in the Swan River, a much-loved landmark. If you're in Perth, you might be surprised how many sculptures around your city are by Tony. And I recorded that conversation when I was in Perth for the recent Perth Festival. Now, there's a lovely coda to this because as we go to air in Eastern Australia, it's coming up to 7:35 in the morning on O'Connor Beach, and it's the anniversary of his suicide on the 10th of March 1902. That's 114 years ago. And his descendants have gathered on the beach, and Mike Lefroy is CY's great-grandson. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Very well. Paint a picture for us. What's it like there on the beach this morning?
Oh, look, the sun, I've just been listening to you and Tony. The sun has just sneaked out of the clouds. I'm looking north to the harbour and a big container ship coming in and a couple of little sheepdog tugs are taking it in. And down below there's we're all dressed for radio today, Michael. We've a ragtag board shorts and T-shirts and things. We've got a big box of flowers and we're just going to swim out to the statue and scatter the flowers around. So it's a beautiful place.
And you do this each time, each year at this time, do you?
Yes, that's right. We started, my wife Jo and I started just wandering down ourselves. We just live just out the back from here. And on the 100th anniversary, we came down and just thought, well, this is a lovely time to sort of early in the morning to contemplate the fragile nature of life and the permanency of death. And so we sort of swim out and look back at the world, and we've gradually, you know, more family members have come to join us. So it's a wonderful occasion for that reason.
So how many are you this morning, Mike?
We're a fairly slow family, and there's lots of wake up faces around. There's another five walking down the beach, and my Anne Brake from the National Trust just walked over the National Trust of the guard to the, you know, look after the Golden Pipeline. And so, you know, there's a trail of people walking down. We'll have about 50, I think, in about 10 minutes.
And, Mike, what do you say happened on that morning 114 years ago?
Well, the great thing, as Tony mentioned, you know, I'm sitting up on the hill looking down. There's the foundation of Rob Jetty, his wonderful sculptures 50 metres out. There's a wreck of a tugboat, one of O'Connor's tugboats from the harbour down on the beach. That was brought up here in the 1960s to be broken up for scrap metal. And we know from the coroner's report exactly where it happened because there were splash marks on the jetty. And I'm looking down at the spot, you know, where he died. And Constable Honor came and found the body, found the gun in 18 inches of water and the riding whip nearby. And the very sad thing, I mean, this was typical morning ride. He'd leave his place, in his home in Beach Street. He'd gallop down here. Normally, my grandmother, Bridget, his young daughter, 18-year-old, would come with him. But it had been a terribly hot weekend, and she wasn't feeling well. And really, you know, he came by himself. And Arthur Lynch, who saddled up his horse, said he saw him go and wrap the reins around the kitchen door and go back inside. He went to his son, Roger's room, took a gun out of the drawer beside his bed, tucked it in his suit coat pocket and hopped on Moonlight the horse and came galloping up here. And it's a very... I remember learning at school that someone turned on a tap and the water didn't come out and killed himself. And we know from that comment, you ask someone on the beach, that's quite wrong. And the water came through very successfully 10 months later.
Yes, he didn't shoot himself because the thing didn't work. He shot himself because the enemies that were massing against him were really, in the end, overpowered his mind, I guess, is the way I read it. Is that how you see it?
Exactly right. And you know, sadly, a number of things sort of didn't line up. The Federation, so John Forrest, his great protector, has gone. So he was standing in front of him, you know, his political flak jacket taking all the bullets. And he's gone, so O'Connor's exposed. His doctor was away. His best friend, ironically, was on stress leave. His solicitor, when he asked him about the newspaper reports, he said, "Look, don't worry about what's written in the newspaper." And for a sensitive man, that was probably the worst thing he could say. But
man of principle was really confronting the press at its worst and its most vicious. It would be sad, though, Mike, if we remembered C.Y. O'Connor as a man who committed suicide. I mean, this is the thing people know about him, but really the achievement of the life, that's what I would love people to remember and to appreciate all over Australia.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a marvellous marvellous occasion because, you know, standing up here, we, you know, I look down at the harbour, which really was his great achievement because against advice, he said, I'll build it here, I know it'll work, I've done one in New Zealand. And the pipeline, was, in a way, was the, you know, anything. When he asked Sir John Forrest, you know, what's the gig? You know, what would you like me to do? He got a telegram saying railways, harbours, everything. So the harbour was the big one, the railways, and the, you know, the pipeline was something that came along with the great discovery of gold and then many, many thirsty people 530 kilometres up the road in Kalgoorlie.
Well, all the very best to you, Mike, and my thoughts are with you and the family this morning as you celebrate a really wonderful life.
Thank you very much, Michael, for your interest. It's and a lovely interview with Tony.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, what a lovely man he is.
Yeah.
Mike Lefroy there, a great-grandson of C.Y. O'Connor, gathering there with other descendants of the Irish engineer who built the pipeline that runs from just outside Perth into the goldfields of Western Australia.